The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, fellas. Go back in your Bible, if you will, and look at the book of Genesis chapter 39. The book of Genesis chapter 39, verse 21. The Bible says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." I want you to notice four words there, "and gave him favor." I want to speak to you tonight on the favor of God in your life. The favor of God in your life. Well, they say that the judgment seat of Christ is going to be, as you see in your Bible, a place of reward. I heard a story, of course, one day about the judgment seat of Christ. And, of course, it's something that is fictitious, something that's not true, because the judgment seat of Christ is that to come. It's not yet taken place, but I thought it was a humorous story, so I'll share it with you. There was two men that appeared before the judgment seat of Christ. Of course, the judgment seat of Christ is the Bema seat. It's the seat of reward. But these two men appeared before the judgment seat of Christ. One was a New York City taxi driver. The other one was a preacher. And the New York City taxi driver had all of these rewards that was given to him. Many, many rewards that was given to him. And the preacher had hardly any rewards whatsoever. And so the preacher began to inquire, why did he get more rewards than I received? I don't understand. I'm a preacher. He's just a taxi driver. Why did he get more rewards than I received? Well, the Lord said, we reward according to that which is labor. We reward according to that which you've given it your very best. And so therefore, we knew that people fell asleep every time you got up to preach, but every time he drove that taxi, they prayed extra hard. How do you get God's favor in your life? I want to use an acrostic tonight of the word favor, but I want to use an Old Testament spelling tonight. Started working on this at about 2 o'clock this morning as I woke up and was able to take some notes on this, and then I finished it out very, very early this morning and adding some things this afternoon. But I want to show you some things using the acrostics, the Old Testament spelling. As you see right there, F-A-V-O-U-R, the Old Testament spelling for favor. That way we understand where we're getting this from. Let me give you just a couple of things about having the favor of God or retaining the favor of God in your personal life. Statement number one, focus only on God. Focus only on God. You'll notice that here, Joseph is given the very favor of God, but all throughout Joseph's life, he never lost his focus. Joseph was always focused on the Lord. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 21, the Bible says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." And so the Lord is the one that gave favor. By the way, Joseph never forgot who gave him favor. He knew that it wasn't that he was in favorable position every time that God opened the windows of heaven and poured him out a blessing. He knew that favor belonged to the Lord. He knew that God alone could be the one that would give favor, and God alone is the one that did give favor. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 2, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow," it says of tomorrow, or of the morrow, "for the morrow shall," it says, "take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And so God is saying that we're not supposed to get wrapped up in things. Now, I thank God for things being done first class. I would rather go to a church that thinks more about God to do things on a upper scale than to go to a church that doesn't think as much about God and chooses to do things on a lower scale. I think it's better to be able to do things that is less appalling than that which is more appalling. I think it is better to give God your very best. And by the way, you do too, or you would not be dressing up for church like you do. And so we're supposed to focus only on God. Why do we do the things that we do? Do we do that to impress man? Do we do that in order to get man's attention? Or do we do it truly because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and know that He deserves the very best? Now, God says to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, these things that we see, such as the house that holds us tonight, will one day perish. The clothes that you wear will one day perish. But the things that you do for the Lord Jesus Christ will never perish. There was a man that took a vacation. He went down to Florida, and a preacher came by, and the preacher tried to win him to the Lord. He would not yet receive Christ as Savior, but he told his wife that, "I think I'm going to go to heaven, and I think that I just might make it to heaven based on the things that I do." And she was not a believer either, but she was pretty close to getting saved, but not a believer either. She never received Christ as Savior, but she believed that somehow, some way, he was going to be able to speak to her beyond the grave. And so some way he was going to be able to communicate with her. Well, somehow or another, he had sent her an email before he had a heart attack and died in Florida, and the email came in late, and she was waiting for a response, thinking her husband would contact her beyond the grave. And all of a sudden, that email came, and the email read this: "It's very hot down here, and I'm looking forward to seeing you real soon." All right? Now, the focus was on that which was the future, but it wasn't a good future. Can I tell you, when you focus on God, it is a good future. When you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a good future. When you take and you put your focus only on God, God will reward you, and God is the one that will help you to be able to endure every trial. Statement number one, focus only on God. How is it tonight that we can receive? How is it tonight that we can retain God's favor? Focus only on God. Statement number two, always stay committed to Him. Always stay committed to Him. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have days where you can thank God that those days have come. And you're going to have days when you can thank God that those days have come and gone. And so focus only on God and always stay committed to Him. Here's what the Bible says about Joseph. Look at it, Genesis chapter 39 and verse 22. The Bible says, "Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it." And so Joseph was the one that was behind the doing of it. He was a committed individual. Not only was he committed to that which was prison, but he was committed to do that which was right in the sight of God. You know, Brother Williams had saved up strength and saved up strength and saved up strength. And Mrs. Williams texted me last night and also early this morning, and she said he did not want to miss the very first Sunday sitting in the newly remodeled auditorium. And so he saved up strength and he got up early this morning and he took the shower and then he took a break and then he ate a little bit and then he took a break and then he walked a little bit to the car and then he took a break. And they drove here, and he walked a little bit to the pew, and he sat there, and he was so glad to be in church. By the way, can I tell you what that is? That is committed. That is committed. Mrs. Algebright is having some physical calamities in her life, and she called me up, and she said, "Preacher, I don't know if I can make it, but I promise you, when you enter that pulpit, that I'll be praying for God's power to fall." That is called commitment. I think about Brother Kazar having the knee problems and a continual pain, but yet he gets up here and he works on the buses and he gives it his very best shot. While others are not doing such, he is. While others might be younger than he is still accomplishing. Now, what is that? That is called being committed. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 and in verse 8, the Bible says that "my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." The Bible says that "the heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Now here's what he's talking about. He's saying that we don't always make the right decision. And by the way, that's why it's good to focus on Him. That's why it's good to keep Him first. Yeah, ask yourself the question, what would the Lord do in this particular incident? How would the Lord obey this? How would the Lord step out and to accomplish this? You focus only on God. You always stay committed to Him. Stay committed to Him, even during the hard times. Even when you don't understand His leading, you always stay committed to Him. Why? Because in the end, if you stay committed to Him, He's going to make the things okay. So how is it tonight that we can have the favor of God? You focus only on God. Statement number one, you always stay committed to Him. Statement number three, view all things, listen to it now, view all things God's way. View all things God's way. Well, you know, brother so-and-so told me, sister so-and-so told me. No, you view all things God's way. Well, I think, well, maybe. No, you come back always to Scripture and you view things God's way. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 29 and in verse 18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And by the way, where there is no vision, your children will perish. Where there is no children, if you would please, your future will perish because your children will carry on your family name. Where there is no vision for that which is your wife or your husband, your spouse, they may perish. Somebody has to have a vision for God to work inside of the life of your family. Somebody has to have a vision that God can do something, and we view all things God's way. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Well, preacher, how in the world can I get happy? Well, why don't you keep the law? In other words, if God says to do something, we don't become somebody, if you would please, that says, I can't do that. But we decide, I can do that. Don't forget, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I can step out and accomplish that which God has for me. I was looking at the crowd as it was packed down here and packed up there, and I thought, you know, I was always taught when I was in Bible college that when you have a big day, that will soon, if you keep working and you keep praying and you keep going, that will soon become your average. And so you just keep working and you keep praying. And boy, I'm so excited to see so many new members and people that's coming and people that's getting involved. I see Matea over there, and she is playing an instrument over there in the orchestra. And I saw her husband I saw his wife, and she was over there playing. And Joby is out there directing traffic. And man, I love it. And out soul winning. And so many new members are accomplishing those things that God has before them, and they're stepping out and they're obeying and they're going forward. And by the way, that's where you're going to find the joy. That's where you're going to get happy. That's where all of a sudden you'll be content. That's where all of a sudden you'll not lay down and die if you just keep God first and focus on God and always stay committed to Him and view all things God's way. Look at it the way God would see it. The Bible says, when a man's way please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You say, well, my enemies are not at peace with me right now, but they will be. That's a promise of the Lord. All right, and so what do? You view all things God's way. Statement number three. Statement number four, here we go. Only rely on Him. Only rely on, I'm talking about, how do you get the favor of God? You know, you can partially rely on Him, or you can all the way rely on Him. You know, to rely on Him means that you step into His presence and you let Him carry you through the difficult times. Rely on Him in your prayer life. Rely on Him with the way that you walk. Rely on Him with the decisions that you make. But rely on Him. Instead of saying, well, I think this is what I ought to do because it might just be right, then why don't you decide to go to the Bible, open the Bible, and say, God, I don't know what is right, and so I ask you, please, to show me a Bible principle. I ask you, please, to direct me in the way that I should go because I simply want to totally rely on you. Notice this, the Bible says in Genesis 39 and verse 23, the Bible says, because the Lord was with him, and says, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Why did the Lord prosper Joseph so much? You know, one of my favorite Old Testament individuals to read about is Joseph. Because Joseph went through the valley. Joseph went through the hard times. Joseph went through times of disparity. Joseph went through times where his brothers turned their back on him, where all of a sudden now the brothers cast him into a pit. Those brothers sell him into bondage, and he goes from captivity to captivity to captivity. But you never hear Joseph complaining. You never hear Joseph bellyaching. You never hear Joseph saying, well, you know, I just tell you what, I think I'm about ready to quit. I'm about ready to give it up. I'm about ready to throw in the towel. You never hear that whatsoever. And he focused on God, and he decided to keep God first in his life, and he decided to always stay committed to him and always view things God's way and only rely on him. Isn't it something how we treat people that are not saved? We say to those people that are not saved, and we'll quote that verse over in John chapter 14, verse 6, where it says, and Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again. Well, it says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And we say, you know, there's only one way to go to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. But really, there's only one way that a Christian should live, and that's through Jesus Christ. When we start to get us involved, we start having trouble. Well, let me tell you what my opinion is. Well, let me tell you what I think I should. Well, let me tell you how I think I need to respond. Well, the problem is you're in the way. When you get you out of the way, life becomes a whole lot better and different. Because God is the one that can take and work now. Because you have put yourself on the shelf. You have died to self. That's how come Paul said, I die daily. Somebody came up to me the other day and said, I got my feelings hurt. I said, why'd you want to go and do that? They said, pardon me? I said, why did you want to go and do that? What do you mean? I didn't mean to go and get my feelings hurt. I just got my feelings hurt. I said, no, you wanted your feelings hurt or you wouldn't have got them hurt. People that get their feelings hurt normally wear their feelings on their sleeves and say, I dare you to touch it. I'm looking for somebody to touch it. Well, don't be that way. You be the person that is dead to self. You know you cannot offend a dead person. You can kick them. You can always tell if the person is not really dead. You go up to somebody that's pretending that they're dead, pretending that they're a good Christian, pretending that they're walking with God, and you kick them real good, can I tell you something? You're going to get a response. They're going to roll. They're going to make a sound. I said this, if you squeeze something sweet, sweetness comes out. If you squeeze something sour, sourness will come out. When you're under pressure and something squeezes you, it reveals who you really are. When you squeeze a person that is walking with God, forgiveness comes out, love comes out, peace comes out, joy comes out, happiness comes out, fulfillment comes out. All these things come out because after all, if you're walking in the Spirit, yea, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the attributes of the Spirit of God just happens to come out. Now, may I say tonight, here's what we understand. That only happens when we rely on Him. You don't get that any other way. I was in Florida, and this guy said, you know, let me tell you a story. He said, I had a mean, cantankerous boss. He said, I tried my best to please the boss, and nothing, absolutely nothing, would please the boss. He said, so finally, I got fired. He fired, unjustly, he fired me. Now, this is a businessman, and he told me this. He said, but I forgave him. He said, and I knew that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay, and so I never became vengeful. I just gave it to God. He said, then all of a sudden, the boss's business went belly up. He said, when the boss's business went belly up, I had a little extra money, and so I decided to buy the business. Now the boss that used to boss me around works in my shop. Boy, God gets the last laugh every time, doesn't he? Do we understand that when we rely on him, he is the one that helps. He is the one that encourages. He is the one that will perform the task. He is the one that will answer the prayer. He is the one that can come through. But it has to be only him. Only him. I worry about preachers that's always pat me on the back. It shouldn't be pat me on the back. It should be giving all the glory to God. letting God receive all the glory. And by the way, because if you got what you deserve and I got what I deserve tonight, you and I both would be burning in hell. So we understand tonight, how is it that we can be an individual that gets the favor of God? We focus only on God. We always stay committed to Him. We view all things God's way. We only rely on Him. Statement number next. Unlimit the hands of God. Unlimit His hands. You know, the Bible talks about how Israel, the Bible says that they limited the hands of God. They bound His hands. You know, when you have somebody that has bound hands, they can't do very much. They can't be able to accomplish very much. Matthew, come here if you will, please. And so if you've got somebody that has, let's get this Matthew here. I realize we have several. But watch this. If you have somebody, put your hands together, hold your hands together, hold them together, grip your hand. There you go. If you have somebody that has bound hands and there's a wire, there's a rope that's around his hands, can I tell you he is limited as to what he can do? Now, by the way, whoever has bound his hands may guide him around. He can't do very much about it. You have to be careful that you do not become in the bonds of that which is the entanglements of the world that bond you so much that you're not allowed to serve Jesus Christ. You have to be careful about that. You have to be careful who you allow to bind your hands to the point and to the place that it stops you from being everything that you ought. You know, he can't pick up things like he used to. Now, he may be bound by unforgiveness. He may be bound, if you would please, by a debt that he owes. He may be bound by sin. He may be bound by that which is a corrupt lifestyle. He may be bound by his immoral thoughts. He may be bound by that which is a friend. He may be bound by something else that binds him in his life. But as long as there is a binding in his life, he doesn't have the freedom and the liberty to serve Jesus Christ. It is just not going to happen. So he's bound. Go ahead, keep it bound. Reach in your back pocket with it bound and get your billfold out. He's not going to give the way he should. He's going to have difficulty. Go ahead, keep it bound, but go over there and pick up one of those hymn books and go ahead and turn in the hymn book to such and such a page. It's not going to happen. They can't pick up a hymn book to sing. If that was a Bible, he's not going to be able to pick up the Bible to read it. You know why? Because he is bound. He is bound. We got a lot of young people that if you're not careful, you will be bound by that which is the bonds of worldliness, or you'll be bound by that which is the bonds of immorality, or you'll be bound by that which is the bonds of a social life that ought not to be, or you'll be bound by something else, and it will hold you back to the point and to the place that you'll not be able to serve Jesus Christ like you ought to. I've seen several people that has become bound by things in their life. And by the way, they're adults. And when they become bound by these things, it prohibits them from having the freedom. Even if he and I were to get in a foot race, just a foot race, has nothing to do with his hands being bound. But if we got into a foot race and we took off because of the momentum of getting the entire body into the activity of running, I beat him. I'm 53, you're 17, I beat him. Now, it's just simply because there's something, that's how come the Bible says that we're supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Sometimes we bind ourselves. Now, I don't know about you. I think that this morning what happened is the Holy Spirit of God came down. People were saved. The truth was preached. Lives were changed. Hey, and thank God for that. But what about in your life? What about in your personal walk? How is it tonight that you are serving Jesus Christ? What is it tonight that you're doing to be able to keep your hands free? There's something about serving God that when you go to bed at night and you've done the very best that you can, you sleep well. There's just something about it. There's something about saying, I gave it my very best. I prayed. I walked with God. I had the power of God. I was studied up. I was ready. I was prepared. And I did my best. And I'm telling you, there's just something excited about giving your all to Jesus Christ. But when you take and you allow yourself to be limited by things. Now, thank God. Thank you. Be seated. Thank God that this morning that people went out all throughout the weekend, all throughout the couple of weeks that we passed out the flyers and by. I commend you. But just because that is over, let's not stop. Let's go ahead and keep going. Let's see people come to know Christ as Savior. Let's pour it on for a lost and dying world. Let's keep the fire hot. Genesis chapter 40, watch this. In verse 2, the Bible says, the chief of the butlers. And it says, the chief of the bakers. There was two of these that were the premier leaders in those two departments. The Bible says that they were put in a ward. They were bound in verse 3, Genesis 40, and they were put in a ward, if you would please, where Joseph was. Verse 4, the Bible says, and he served them. So here they are, they're bound, they're put in a ward, and Joseph is serving them. The Bible says, and continued a season in the ward. So they're there for a season. Doesn't say how long the season was, but it was for a season. Verse 5, the Bible says, and they dreamed a dream, both of them. So both of them have a dream. Verse 9, the Bible says that the chief butler, he dreamed about the vine that was before him. And he begins to give Joseph, if you would, that which is a description of the dream. Verse 10, he says that the vine, of course, had three branches, and it brought forth the ripe grapes. And the Bible says in verse 11, as Joseph begins to give that which is an interpretation of that dream, as he hears in verse 11 that these grapes were pressed and they were poured into Pharaoh's cup. In verse 12, as Joseph gives the interpretation, he says the three branches means 3 days, and the 3 days shall be, Pharaoh shall lift up, it says, thine head. And restore thee unto thy place. And so, boy, you know, he's excited. Just 3 days, boy, he's going to be restored. Just happens to be so that in 3 days it was Pharaoh's birthday. And so in 3 days he's going to be restored. It's going to be good. And here comes the one that gets the bad interpretation, the butler. The butler, hearing the interpretation of it, the Bible says that he thought he was going to get a good interpretation. He said, let me tell you my dream. And it was three white baskets that was going to be on my head. And the basket was full of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat out of the basket upon my head. The Bible says in verse 19, in 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head from off thee. And thou, and this is Joseph's interpretation, shall hang in the tree, and the bird shall eat the flesh off of thee. Now, by the way, you listen to it, it happened in 3 days. The prophecy, if you would please, the interpretation, if you would please, the understanding of the dream did come true in 3 days. And by the way, I don't know about you, but if I was one of those men, I think I'd rather be the man that was restored to the position than the man that had his head whacked off, if you would, or hung in the tree and the birds did eat the flesh thereof. And here Joseph is giving that interpretation. He's giving that dream, if you will, please. But Joseph is thinking, man, I tell you what, I'm giving this dream. I'm telling them what the interpretation of the dream is. And as the one that gets released from prison, he says, look, remember me. Don't forget me. And there might have been just a slight smidgen. Brother June, that's a Western word, smidgen. Might have been just a slight smidgen of hope. That somehow or another, he would be restored, Joseph would be, he would be released because he found favor in the eyes of the one that was dismissed. But the Bible says that the one that was dismissed forgot him. Have you ever done that? Have you ever meant to give somebody a gift and you forgot? And then the time of the occasion had passed. And you felt bad because you forgot? Raise your hand. Has that ever happened to you? Boy, I'm so glad I'm not alone. Has there ever been a time when you wanted to tell somebody something? You wanted to write them a note. You wanted to tell them thank you. You wanted to do something to honor them. You wanted to do something to encourage them. And you got so busy that it just passed by. Now, I hope that's not your wife's birthday. I hope that's not your anniversary. I hope that's not your parents' birthday. But have you ever gotten so busy about life that all of a sudden it just passed you by? And you limited what you could do because you just got so busy. Now I say over and over again, thank you for all that you've done. Boy, God is blessed. God is blessed. And let me tell you something, okay? The reason that so many people got saved today is not because you've got a great preacher. Reason so many people got saved today is not because we did all the labor and pat us on the back. The reason people got saved today is because God is still in the saving business. Unless we forget, God is the one that does the work. Now, yes, He needs us as vessels. And that's why we don't need to be bound. That's why we don't need, you know, God created you to bring, the Bible says, Him good pleasure. You are not created for you. You are not created to have your fulfillment. You know why so many people are so unfulfilled? I know business people are completely unfulfilled. You know why? Can I tell you why? The Bible says that God places inside of you a natural hunger and thirst for righteousness. And if you're not getting those things fulfilled, you'll become disgruntled. You will become disgruntled. You know the people that cause more trouble and are higher critics in a church than anybody else is the ones that are the pew sitters that do nothing. Or if they're doing something, they're not doing enough. And the Bible calls them busybodies. Why are they busybodies? Because they're not serving like they should. There's a natural hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that is going to be there. And by the way, it always stays. Because a man that is growing in Christ will never reach the plateau. Because the plateau keeps moving. But if you keep moving, you'll be happier than if you are not moving. By the way, people that don't move. Now, some people have thyroid problems. Some people have genetic problems. But people that don't move, if you're not careful, you will become out of a good fit. You will become physically despondent. You will become somebody that grows like a couch potato because you're not active. You're not active. I think of Brother Giselle, I think 82. And his nurse is here, by the way. But 82 and gets up and walks every day. 82. Have you ever seen people get older? And they don't exercise. You ever see them? Here's what happens. Instead of having, if you would please, flexibility, they stiffen up. They do. They start walking like this. And they get stiff. You know, one of the worst things you could ever do in your life is when you get old, is stop moving. One of the worst things you ever do in your life. Because when you stop moving, all of a sudden now you're not as limber as what you used to be. Now the same thing is true about your spiritual life. Somebody says, well, I used to serve in the bus ministry. What do you want, an applause? Now we do applaud. But what about now? But you know, hey, I used to teach a Sunday school class. Don't dry up. Well, I used to sing in the choir. Get back in the choir. Sing in the choir when you're 110. But I used to go soul winning. But, you know, Texas weather is so hot. That doesn't surprise God. God put you here. There's a lost and dying world. Don't dry up. Wait, watch this, if you will. So here's what we see, and I'm done. Focus only on God, statement number one. Statement number two, we're talking about how to have the favor or how to keep the favor of God in your life. Always stay committed to Him. Statement number next, view all things God's way. Statement number next, only rely on Him. Statement number next, unlimit the hands of God. Statement number next, remember always to wait on God. All just to wait on Him. Well, God, it's my time. Time for what? Well, God, I'm waiting on God, you got to do this now. You know how I view some Christians? I view some Christians as that little bitty puppy that's very immature that bites at your heels and irritates you to get their way. Now, what do you want to do? You want to go. I had a cat. By the way, don't get mad at me. I don't like cats. Don't get mad at me. I got soul winning. And this cat, oh. Your cats have diseases. I had this cat that followed me everywhere I went. I mean, I would walk down the street and this cat is following me. And people are asking me, is that your cat? I said, no. Finally, I got around the corner. Now, understand, I don't like cats anyway. But this cat just kept coming and sharing its fur. That's one reason I don't like cats. Another reason, my wife is highly allergic to cats. And so if we walk into a house, we were soul winning the other day, and we walked into a house, and she saw the cats, and I saw her eyes begin to water. And I looked at her, and I said, are you going to be okay? And she said, I think so. Now, I wanted the person to get saved, but to be honest with you, we got in and out of there as quick as possible. Because she would start to swell. It's not going to be a good night. You know, I mean, you know, she, never mind, I was going to say, take up more room in the vehicle because the, but. But she'd start to swell. And so I don't like cats. So I walked around the corner, and this cat was still there. Brr. You know how they purr? Well, doesn't that sound devilish anyway? It's like, purr, like, I'm going to be your friend. Purr, getting hair all over you. Purr, I love you. If you ever notice, they, you know, when they display the Halloween stuff, it's never a dog. It's always a cat. Okay. But anyway, so this cat's following me along. And so I got around the corner, and I thought, hey, you know, it's been a long time since I saw a cat fly. Now, I was not mean to the cat. But I heard a story one time that cats have 9 lives. So I knew no matter what I did, it would survive. So I just put my foot underneath. You know how a cat has 2 legs in the back? 2 legs in the front. So I gently, I'm a pastor. So I gently took my foot, put it underneath the crest belly of the cat, looked to my right, looked to my left, making sure I would have a good image still maintained in the public eye. And with all the fiber and the muscle scelerativity of my leg, I decided to poke the cat. You never saw such a beautiful sight in your life. Cat flying through the air. Meow. It was Cat Superman Day. Meow. And you could tell it was going away because it was going meow. Well, that's a beautiful sound. What am I saying? Wait for the proper time to kick your cats. That's what I'm saying. Bible truth tonight. Just a Bible truth tonight. Trying to help. No, I'm kidding. Hey, if you're a cat lover, I appreciate because somebody has to love them. Statement last. Here we go. Remember to always wait on God. Always wait on Him. Hey, but God, you know, you're supposed to answer this prayer right now. And God simply says, wait. But God, I deserve. And God just kind of puts you on hold, doesn't He? And it's a waiting game. Hello? You know, some of the best things that will ever come in your life are those things that you wait for. That you don't get anxiously active after. That you wait on. You know, God will answer prayer in His time. Well, you know, I just need to promote myself. No, you let God promote you and you wait. Well, God, you need to use me this way. You let God decide how He's going to use you and you wait. But God, I'm all by myself and I want a boyfriend, girlfriend, wife. And sometimes God never answers prayer. But just wait. Just wait. You know, if you wait on the Lord, God shows Himself mighty. But if you try and work out your problems, your difficulties, your answers, most of the time you'll make a wrong one. Because you're impatient. Here's what it says, and I'm done. The Bible says, and yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but the Bible says, forget him. Well, that's not right. Joseph, that servant of the Lord. Joseph, that one that put God first. Joseph, the one that went through the suffering and the suffering and the suffering and the suffering and never got bitter, never got angry, never got upset with God, never pushed God into a corner. If anybody should have been remembered, it would have been Joseph. But the Bible says he was even forgotten by somebody he helped. Listen to it and I'm done. Genesis chapter 41 verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And it goes on, it tells that dream. So here, 2 years have passed. 2 years have passed. Joseph is sitting still in the prison, in confinement, not being used, not being somebody that has the ability to have the freedom that others have in their life. And for 2 years, he's held in confinement, just waiting, just waiting, just waiting. The Bible says in verse 9 of chapter 41, the Bible says, and spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh and said, I do remember my faults this day. So after 2 years of Joseph waiting in confinement, 2 years of Joseph waiting for freedom, 2 years that he thinks belong to him right now, all of a sudden, the person that he did rely on, God woke up. God woke up. And when God woke him up, God began to do some things. Look at verse 39, 41, chapter 41, verse 39. The Bible says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, he says, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Now all of a sudden he comes and he interprets the dream for Pharaoh. And as he does, God says, not only am I going to bless you, he says, I'm saying there's nobody as wise as you that I've ever met in my life. Verse 40, the Bible says, and thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. So not only did he get what most would say, boy, Joseph deserves it, but he got more than most people would ever think he deserved. The Bible says, only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So what do? I remember to always wait on God. You know, in child rearing, I found this to be true. There is certain times that are more appropriate to teach your children a lesson than other times. You look for the opening of those times that is the wisest times to give instruction. You know, as a pastor, there are certain times you know that God is saying, talk to that person now. And as the shepherd being led by the chief shepherd, only a pastor can define through God's Holy Spirit when the now really is. Have you ever been out soul winning and you knocked at your last door, so you thought? You're walking to your car, exhausted beyond compare, and all of a sudden God says, talk to that person. And you in your heart says, No. I put in my hours. I'm tired. I want to head the subway, get a chopped salad. No. Okay, I want to head to steak, get a steak. And the Holy Spirit says, I said, talk to him. Hello. Mrs. Edipai was sitting up on the balcony today as one of the soul winners, and Brother Bontegal saw that this lady had raised her hand for salvation, and he turned over to Mrs. Edipai and said, can you talk to this lady? And she took that lady aside and led that lady to Christ. I'm so glad that we had a soul winner that was sitting in the balcony that cared enough to lead somebody to Christ. It was very neat if you were here this morning to look in different places as I saw New Testaments not just open here, but I saw New Testaments open back there, New Testaments opened over here, New Testaments opened up there, New Testaments opened up there, and people were getting them in their seats. They did not want them to get away. And they were showing them their... what I'm saying is this. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that God can use you where you are, but you have to be patient with him. You know, if you're not careful in a growing church, here's what you do. Preacher, I want to do everything. But when it comes down to it, you can't. You can't. The problem is you're not omnipresent. You can't work on the bus ministry sometimes and sing in a special group sometimes. You cannot teach a Sunday school class in the A and teach a Sunday school class in the B sometimes. You cannot be able to accomplish the multiple things that are all... You can't play in the orchestra and sing in the choir at the same time. It doesn't work that way. It would look really weird if you tried. Now, I'm saying there's a way to seek, to have, and to keep the favor of God. Now, can I help you a little bit? I'm done. Here it is. If you are desirous to have that, God will give that to you. Well, that was just for Joseph. Mm-mm. No, God is not a respecter of persons. It was so funny. Brother Jonathan and I was up here, and we were working on the sound system, I guess, together today for about an hour and a half or so, and trying to get some of the booger boos out of it and for tonight's service. And then I told him, I said, I can work with you to about 3:30, and I've got to leave. I've got to go pray and get ready for tonight. And so then Josh came in to finish it up and take my place. And, you know, one thing that we were delightfully surprised, happy about, as many people work setting up the chairs, there was never the talk, not one time, there was never the talk of, I hope God fills these chairs on Sunday. As people were in here vacuuming and cleaning, there was never the talk of, I hope God fills the pew. There was never one person that was up here working that had any doubt or at least they didn't voice any doubt of what God was going to do today. There was just no doubt. Now, they weren't being cocky, they weren't being arrogant, they weren't being self-righteous. They were all in one accord in their belief that God was going to do what God did today. Now, may I say, I think that God blessed because there were some people that God looked down on and God said, I'm going to show favor because of you. You know, God will bless your family because of you. You know why they used Joseph so much? Because they knew that Joseph had the favor of God on him. So they said, hey, we want you to be over our stuff because we know if we put you over our stuff, God is going to bless our stuff because you're over our stuff. That's God. Now, by the way, nobody can take the favor off of your life. Stay with me and I'm done. Nobody can take the favor off of your life, the favor of God off of your life except you. Nobody can limit the favor of God in your life. Nobody except you. And when you come to the realization of that, you understand that you can stand in the very presence of God and allow God to have favor on your life. You can receive it. You can keep it. But you have to choose to have it.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.